Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life.
Dear God, I feel yucky today, but Sam really wants to climb trees. I already threw up 3 times this morning. Sam's gonna need another friend, you know. And God, please help me to tell Ben that I broke his guitar string. I didn't want to tell him, but I think he knows. Help Ben forgive me. He's the best brother in the whole world. God, do you think you can find somebody for my mom? She's been so lonely since Dad went to heaven. Could you send someone that can make her happy? I know it must be hard on Mrs. Baker, because babies cry a lot. She misses her husband too, but she still finds time to make us stuff. Don't tell Mom, but Mrs. Baker's fried chicken is way better. I think I'll be seeing you soon. I'm not feeling better like I used to. Before I die, can you help my friend Mr. Brady? He's so cool, and he has a boy, but I don't think they see each other. Could you tell Mr. Brady's heart it's going to be okay?
This is a movie clip from the letter from the movie Letters to God, which was a movie written in response to this man in Nashville's 8-year-old son passing away from cancer. And after the fact, after the son passed away and he was trying to cope with this, he wrote this screenplay. And even after he wrote the screenplay, they were digging through things. They finally got the strength to go back and dig through his things. And they found this notebook. And it was letters, kind of a journal, but less like a journal and more, "Dear God, this is what I'm praying for. This is what I'm struggling with. This is what I'd like for the people around me in my life.
You yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are letters of Christ, prepared by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." This is the word of the Lord.
The scripture verse enlightens a little bit about prayer in a different way. There's a popular poet who, actually from Detroit, named Edgar Guest, who once famously wrote, maybe you've heard this quote before, is, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day." I think Mr. Guest was well ahead of his time in the Christian community, as that seems to be the popular mantra amongst especially younger people these days, is that they'd much rather see a sermon, much rather see our faith in action, than they would rather come and hear someone talk for 10 minutes, and so therefore, I'm just going to go sit down. And no, I'm just kidding. You'll have to listen to me. People want to see results in this world. People don't want to just hear someone say, "I hope that this is going to come." Now, we took the first step in our prayer life today, and we just said, "God, this is what I want you to hear. I'm laying all this down." Now, that establishes the relationship. But imagine if you had a relationship with your best friend where all you did for your best friend was say, "I really like you," and then you left. And you didn't, you know, buy him lunch every now and then. And you didn't go over and play video games. And you didn't do all the things that best friends do. You didn't show necessarily that you were in the relationship. You simply said, "God, this is what I like. This is what I need." And after that, the story ends. As a student in seminary, I was able to be in kind of this group discussion with a man named Fred Craddock, who is considered one to be the best preachers in America, the best preachers of all time. And one of the things he gave us is this little tidbit of wisdom about preaching is this quote. It says that it's like writing a letter to your congregation. Make it detailed enough and engaging enough that they listen and continue reading, but don't ramble enough that they stop listening and just throw the letter away. And to continue his thought, he said, "And at the end of each letter, the congregation must know 3 things. God loves them, you love them, there is work to be done out in, when we get done with church." But to completely end this thought, he went on just a little bit further And to truly write a good letter to your congregation, you have to make it where they can write back. Now, prayer carries along the same premise in that when we pray to God, we ought to expect to hear a little bit of return. We ought not to go to God every single time and say, God, this is what I need. God, this is what I want. And not expect for God to give a little something back. Now, what do we usually expect to hear? Now, I am very amateur in my prayer life. I will just go ahead and admit that I'm very amateur in my prayer life, and that when I'm in a time of crisis or when I'm in a time of, oh my gosh, the skit that we're doing on Sunday morning the 22nd isn't coming together until, you know, the 22nd, God, what do we do? And then I expect to hear something immediately. I expect to see the results immediately, and I'm not someone who likes to wait on results. I like things to happen fast. I'm not into this whole wandering in the wilderness thing. I like to see results. I like to have things done. I like, anything needs to be changed to make it change right away. But that's also what we expect from God, is we expect to see results based upon our prayer. We expect to see our letters to God answered immediately as like instant message text messaging. Even in the movie, Tyler said to his brother who was really struggling in faith, he said, writing a letter to God is kind of like sending a text message to your best friend. And so his brother starts writing a letter down. But when we send a text message, I can send it to you and like 2 seconds later, it's there, if not faster. When I send an email, it's in your inbox immediately. And you know, if you've got a BlackBerry, if you've got an iPhone or something, you can respond immediately to that. We're used to these immediate results, and somehow prayer doesn't always seem to happen immediately. Or maybe it's just that our eyes are not tuned to see it immediately. Or maybe when we are asking God for things in prayer, God is asking back things of us to answer our prayer. Maybe it's our own actions based upon our prayer that serve to be the actual answers. Maybe it's those answers and those transformations that we realize as we're even listening to ourselves talk that are love letters about God for other people to see. In the skit you saw earlier, you saw transformation. In the songs we sing, we see transformation. We hear about how God hears us from heaven, how he opens blind eyes, how all the world has the potential to be transformed. Now, not changed, not transformed back to something that we want to see, but transformed back to original intention, back to where we were in relationship with God. And so where we were sitting down on the couch with God, and we didn't just say, God, you know, you're pretty cool, but I'm going to go hang out with somebody else. God, you're pretty cool, and you know, because you're pretty cool, I know that you're going to give me this. And then once I get that, I'm just, you know, I'm going to head out this way. But it was a relationship where we sat on the couch and we said, God, you know, I got to have this. I need this. And I know this is in accordance with the will of Jesus Christ. And God looked at us and said, cool, I'll give you this, but you give me that. I'll do part A, you do part B. I'll meet you here, you meet me there. And that's the way we were created to be. We were created to be co-creators. We were created to be in conversation with God where we went back and forth and we accomplished this mission together. We always knew three things. We always knew that God loved us. We always knew that we loved each other. And we always knew there was something to be done. But because of attitudes of instant gratification, because of attitudes of, why didn't my prayer get answered? Because of attitudes of, God, you're not listening to me. God, you don't love me. God, I'm angry with you. God, I don't know what you look like. Because of these attitudes that some of them are our fault and some of them, you know, we were born into. And we have this concept where, God, you don't love me. God, I don't think anybody loves me. And so, God, I'm just not going to do anything. Now, if that is your attitude today, if that is the concept of prayer that you have, that God just absolutely doesn't listen, that because God didn't give you exactly what you wanted to, and you're here today and you are very downtrodden because of that, then I encourage you to read the 2 Corinthians passage again. Because Paul is writing to this community in Corinth. He's already written to them 4 times, and we have one of the earlier letters. It's called 1 Corinthians. It's a very clever name that the people came up with to distinguish the two. And Paul is trying to communicate 3 things. He's trying to communicate God loves you, you ought to love each other. There's a lot of work to be done here. Corinth is this very metropolitan city, you know, a la Dallas, New York City. You know, it's a center of trade. It's a center of all the people coming through. So it's different fashions that are out there. It's different, a lot of different industries going on in Corinth and a lot of people passing through, and which means a lot of different ideas. If you look at what happened, you know, everyone talks about how the world is worse off, or, you know, we're all confused now. No one knows anything. Well, it's because we've never been in a situation before where we're in conversation with people around the world at any second of any day. Log on to Twitter. It was really funny. We did, I think it was called NTC, so it was North Texas Conference, during this district conference thing. And so we started this Twitter trend of NTC. Well, apparently NTC is the abbreviations for the rebellion front in Libya. And so we started having conversation that with all these rebels in Libya who are fighting Gaddafi. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, wouldn't it be nice to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world? And their next post was, hey, we're going to this place, you know, and hey, we got a bomb here or something like that. And so we got a little confused, but that's the confusion that comes when we're in touch with the entire world. We're in touch with so many different people around the world that we're not always used to the answer. And it's kind of the same way we've gotten with God, is that we're not always in touch, or we don't open our eyes to the very, the plethora of ways that God interacts with the world. But sometimes it's even that very plethora of the ways God interacts with the world that confuses us. And so we don't think that God loves us. We don't think that God hears our prayers. And so back to Corinth, that there's ideas flowing in and out. There's people telling this church one thing, then other people are coming through and telling them again. Now, Paul started this church. Paul sent people in front of him. Paul started this church, and then he came to nurture it. He kept writing letters back, and he kept hearing from, I like to call them Paul's spies, who would, you know, kind of rat out the people who were doing bad things in all his churches, and they would write to Paul, and Paul would respond with a letter back that would be read in front of the entire church. And he starts off 2 Corinthians by saying, these are the things we have done. These are the things we've done together. These are the things you have done because of my leadership. And it sounds kind of like this very boastful letter at first. You know, it gives a lot of credit to God. It gives a lot of credit to Jesus. It gives a lot of credit to the Holy Spirit. But in it all is saying, if you follow God the way I tell you to, if you follow Jesus the way I tell you to, if you experience the Holy Spirit the way I tell you to, as Paul the apostle, who has apostolic authority to go out and do this, then you will be on the right track. And now that to me sounds very egotistical. That to me sounds like someone who says, you know, I prayed and prayed and prayed for this one specific thing, and God did not give me that one specific thing. God did not answer exactly the way I wanted to hear that. If you look in the movie, though, we see a different example. And if we look at the third chapter of 2 Corinthians, we see a different example. Because here's this little boy, Tyler, in the movie, who writes these letters expecting results. And he writes letters, as you heard on there, about, Lord, give someone to my mom. She's lonely. Doesn't say who. Doesn't pick out the date or time. But he takes his concern before God and says, I know my mom's lonely and I love her. We hear the same thing about his best friend, Sam, who's played by Bailey Madison. We hear the same thing for the mailman, who I believe his name is Bailey in the movie, about he was a terrific guy. Reunite him with his son that he lost because he was driving drunk with his son in the back seat. And he has all these concerns and all these hopes for all of these people. But he never really names what he necessarily wants to happen. He doesn't know name the specifics. And he sure as heck doesn't get mad that they don't happen before he passes away, as you can see in the movie. I hope I'm not ruining it for anybody. But the thing that brings us back to 2 Corinthians and all this, the thing that we see from Tyler in the movie, is that none of those letters would have meant anything without the rest of the movie watching Tyler interact with these people. Now think about this. Think about if you're in class, you're in, let's go middle school, maybe fifth grade or something like that. And I don't have a lot of experience with this, but a girl is giving eyes at you. And you're sitting in class and she's kind of doing this and flirting with you and everything like that. And around fifth grade, my reaction to that girl would have been something to the effect of this. She passes you a note and it says, you know, check yes or no, will you go out with me? Or hey, do you love me? Or something like that. And so she's making eyes at you and she's doing all this kind of stuff. You're going to know that letter's for real. Now, take from the flip side and you get the class bully who's going after a girl, and he's, you know, pulling her hair and roughing her up. He's beating other people up, you know. There's just no interest expressed, and all of a sudden you get this really sappy love note that says, "My dearest love, I have watched you from afar, and I have treated you with dignity and respect. Would you please escort me to the playground so that we might swing together at recess?" And do you really think that girl's going to say yes? Obviously, if they spoke like that, yes, obviously. That's how I got Lindsay, really. But, yeah, that's my side of the story. If we're praying for people, if Tyler is praying for people and Tyler is a misfit, Tyler doesn't care about anybody, Tyler is not showing the love that he feels from God, when they read these letters at the end, is it going to make you cry? When they read these letters at the end, is it going to make you feel like God was present in those letters? Is Tyler's life not the driving force behind the motivation for the movie? Is his will and his life and his attitude not the driving force behind why these letters mean so much? And in the third chapter of Corinthians, Paul goes off of his little egotistical kick and he says, do we need to boast about ourselves? Do we need to go and tell everyone, look, this is what David Lesner and John Mollett and Dina Steiner and Ed Whipple and D-Mac and Susie Cass and all these people, this is what they did, and they did this for the church, and we are awesome, and you better listen to them because they know exactly what's going on. And if you don't do it exactly the way that they say, then, man, you're going to fail. But instead they come back, and Paul says, I don't need to say that. One, you helped out with all of this. You were the ones that made it happen. And even more, I don't need to stand up in front of you and say this in front of the Corinth church because you're my letter of recommendation. The love and grace that you have shown people, the mission you've done in the community, the number of people who are coming to Christ, that's my reference letter. That's what shows me that this matters. That's what shows that this church matters, and that's what shows that God is working in the world. Because you took your prayers, and you better believe it, because later on in chapter 5, or verse 5 or verse 6, it says that our wisdom comes from God, that they were praying about this, and they went and did something about it. They met God halfway. They took everything they had before God. They took every concern, every joy. They lifted up everything as they were talking to their best friend. They were confused. They let God into that. And then they worked through the confusion, went out, made disciples for Jesus Christ, formed an amazing church, formed lives transformed. What good is this worship service at this church if we're not answering our own prayers in a way? What good is it if we are not playing the part of the little girl in the skit who's reaching out to those people who are lost? Who's reaching out to those people who need their father back, who are reaching out to those people who are angry? What good are our prayers if we don't let them shape us? Because I think the part that we miss about prayer is the recommendation part. We miss the part of being shaped by our prayers. We miss the part of listening not to what we're asking God for. We miss the second part. When we get busy with TV and sports and soccer and school and all those different things for our 30-second prayer life, we forget to listen to the second part of the prayer that says, absolutely, now go do this. That's what Jesus asked us to do so many times. He said to the one man, have you followed all the commandments? Yeah, absolutely, I followed all the commandments, but this is what I'm asking of you. And Jesus comes back and says, absolutely, now go sell everything. The man didn't want to meet him halfway or all the way. And so as you turn in your letters to God, as you are praying to God, I invite you to listen to that second part where God says, sure thing, now go do this and make it happen. Because God hears your prayers. God answers prayers. God answers prayers even if you don't do things sometimes. But there's a consistent theme throughout Scripture that when we communicate our answered prayers and we're more part of answering our prayers, that's when God shines the most. That's when disciples are made. That's when Jesus is made known to the world. And so I encourage you to be a letter of recommendation for God. I encourage you to let your prayers shape that recommendation. And most importantly, that in that letter of recommendation, I encourage you to be a love letter for God. And so that you're not the bully that people ignore the love letter from, but that you're the girl making eyes at everyone in the world so that they know God loves them, you love them, and we can do this work together. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask for forgiveness for not asking you for things sometimes. We ask for forgiveness for not taking everything to your doorstep and to your ear. We ask forgiveness that sometimes we just forget about you. But God, the glory in that is that you never forget about us. And so when we come at the last minute, you still hear us. And when we've come years ahead of time, you still hear us. And you're preparing the way, you're paving the way with our prayers. And you are responding back, God. So let us hear the answer to these prayers, whether it come through our best friend, whether it come through our spouse, whether it come just from you. Let us listen. Let us obey. Let us be the change we want to see in the world. Let us be a letter of recommendation for you. And so, God, hear us from heaven. Hear our prayers. And we pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, knowing you hear us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for worship Sunday mornings. Feel free to visit our website, mysumc.org, for more information. Have a blessed day.